Jesus is mine. He's been my torment in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary more than enough.
Praise the Lord. Mission for Jesus Church, located at 6010 West Mill Road, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where the pastor is Elaine Allen.
He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail.
Praise the Lord, it's chat time.
Praise the Lord.
It's chat time again.
Yes, praise the Lord, it's chat time again. And now this week, we're going to continue to discuss current events and scripture.
Praise the Lord. So it's that time of the week in our program where we ask you, did you ever hear this phrase before? And did you ever wonder where it came from? And the phrase is the fat of the land. And that means that it's the best or the richest of anything. And you get it without having to work hard in order to get it. And that phrase comes from Genesis chapter 45, verse 18, and it reads, "And take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land." And that's where it came, folks, the King James Version of the Bible. So I ran across this article, and I'm thinking, what a way to start the new year. This woman became the first non-resident to die through Vermont's assisted suicide law. And what makes it so unique is that she wasn't even a resident of Vermont. She was diagnosed with terminal cancer and was among the first out-of-state residents to hasten her death through Vermont's medical aid in dying law. The elderly woman claimed that she wanted a meaningful death, but not one where she died after a prolonged illness. Her name is Linda Bluestein, and she was a 76-year-old Connecticut resident, and she sought to end her life through Vermont's assisted suicide law, which allows patients to have an illness that is likely to kill them within 6 months to take a lethal medication. She had terminal cancer and she died the first week of January after receiving permission to die by suicide, assisted suicide in Vermont, even though she didn't live in the state. Now, that's something.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I don't know.
I don't know that what says she meant by about... meaningful death. I mean, either way, I mean, she took a lethal injection. And so what's meaningful about that? You know, and I'm not saying that, because I definitely don't want to belittle the effects of pain and suffering, but I really don't understand the meaning behind her statement. You know, she wanted a meaningful death, and how is suicide somehow meaningful death?
When I read this article, it came from the Christian Post, and when I read this article, I was thinking to myself, was she really within 6 months of dying? I mean, how do you really know? I mean, some people don't really, really know. And the reason I ask that is because there was a group that filed a lawsuit on her behalf in 2022. Now, this she died in 2024. The doctor also, a Vermont physician, did also file a lawsuit. And the suit that argued that the residency requirement violated the U.S. Constitution's guarantee of equal treatment. So in March, a settlement agreement stated that Bluestein could use Vermont's assisted suicide law to end her life, even though she wasn't a state resident. And 2 months later, Vermont amended its law to allow people from out of state to hasten their deaths. Now, she was an advocate all the way through. She wanted access to this law, and she had it, but she and everybody deserves to have access much closer to home because the need to travel. So what does that mean? That every state is going to slowly start passing laws that you can do assisted suicide.
Yeah. So if it's not assisted, it's not legal? You just decide, I'm going to just kill myself. I don't need anybody's help. Then somehow, you know, it's not legal. So please, the police will surround your house and do it for you. Then it'll be suicide by cop. I don't get it. It seems like if it's assisted, meaning if somehow you have to have an underlying medical condition, and then if you don't, then it's illegal for you to commit suicide. But that's a slippery slope, because somebody might say, you know, how can you define my pain and suffering? Yeah, and so therefore, I should have just as much right to decide, because it's my life, as somebody who's suffering from an illness.
Well, anyway, she didn't want to die like her mother, who passed away in a hospital bed after a prolonged illness. And last year, the elderly woman told the Associated Press that she wanted to die surrounded by her family, her friends, neighbors, and her dog.
See, I don't know if I could have attended.
More than a silver lining, because more than a silver lining is the beauty and the peace that came, because she had a say in what happened at the very end of her life. I don't know. The thought came to me because this lawsuit was started in 2022 on her behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Made me feel like, she survived all that time.
Right.
So how do I know for sure that she was within 6 months of dying?
Personally, I don't think she was. I think she could, it sounds like she was a strong person physically. I don't know about mentally, but it sounds like her body was resisting enough. I guess she was just tired. You know, some people, they're in pain and they get tired of hurting. But, and I have seen people who have been in pain for years, but I have never seen them say, I want to take my own life. You know, I've witnessed it more than once.
Yeah, well, here's another thing. It came from the Christian Post, and this is some kind of, what do I want to say? I don't know. The words elude me right now. But abortion was the leading cause of death worldwide, mm-hmm, in 2023.
I can believe it, yes.
You know, and I'm wondering, what about all the people that get shot or accidents and all that other stuff? That is something. You think that people are dying left and right because of reckless driving, because of...
war?
I know.
Yeah, you would think. But it's not. It's people who are actually killing their own children.
So abortion has topped several infectious diseases as the world's leading cause of death for at least the fifth year in a row. Even though multiple abortion restrictions have gone into place at the state level, we still topped it.
Well, they're mixing apples and oranges now. They said worldwide, now they're talking about state level. What are they saying?
Even though there are restrictions according to every state.
But so that's not worldwide.
So that's not stopping people from aborting.
I know, but it's not also not worldwide if the only statistics that they can quote is from is within the United States.
Statistics compiled by Worldometer, a database that tracks quantitative data on health, the global population, and other metrics in real time, show that more than 44.6 million abortions were performed worldwide in 2023.
And what they're saying is, though, in the yet-to-be United States, the population, the body count for abortions has gone up in spite of state by, but that's because each state is different and not every state has restricted it. Look at New York. They opened up their borders to say that people were welcome to come and get an abortion. So not every state is anti-abortion.
So the second leading cause of death worldwide is communicable diseases, which took the lives of over 12.9 million people last year.
Okay, wait a minute. You're talking about STDs? Or no, you're talking about what? Infections?
It doesn't specify which.
Right.
I mean, it could.
What kind of communicable diseases?
I mean, flu could be considered that. I don't know. Cancer was attributed to more than 8.2 million deaths, while smoking contributed to the deaths of over 4.9 million people.
Smoking? How? Unless it became cancer or what? Emphysema or?
More than 2.4 million died of alcohol use. More than 1.6 million people perished because of HIV or AIDS, and over 1.3 million lost their lives in road traffic accident fatalities.
Okay, now what?
Over 1 million people died by suicide.
And how many people died by gun violence?
All this
hype about gun violence. How many people? I don't even think it made it on the list, did it?
Other causes of death include the flu, which took the lives of more than 500,000 people, and malaria, which killed over 390,000 people. More than 300,000 mothers lost their lives during childbirth.
Okay.
Over 7.5 million children under the age of 5 died of unspecified illnesses and causes.
Isn't
that hunger remarkable? Took the lives of over 17,000 people in 2023, while over 800,000 died of water-related diseases.
Okay, so
what would that be?
I don't know. See, that's what I'm saying. They're not being specific.
What is a water-related disease? drowning.
Well, it's a disease. So,
but it's not a disease.
Right. So maybe the water contamination. Maybe people are are drinking contaminated water. To me, that would be the poorer countries that don't have a decent filtration system. Yeah.
But reading this article real quick, it does not say anything about gun violence.
Right, because I think it makes up a very small percentage.
Yeah, they'll try to make a big deal out of gun violence and try to hide the big picture. They try to make you see, they try to blow up certain things to fit certain narratives, you know.
So do you think that they're blowing up the abortion deaths?
Well, I don't think
is that
so
out of proportion?
If it's worldwide, because I think in a lot of these developing countries, and I hate to call them developing because to me that's just such a, I don't know, it's a term to me that is not truly in respect of the country, but I think in certain countries where the population, like China and India, I think the abortions there help drive up the percentages, and then you have your other countries that are participating, like the United States and Britain. But I think a lot of these countries where they feel like the people aren't as sophisticated enough, or they're not advanced enough, I think that they push abortion. I think that's how they control their population.
Well, you know, we talked about the YouVersion Bible app before.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't download it. I didn't look at it. But it says that the most popular verse for 2023 under the YouVersion Bible app means that people are searching for hope and peace. So the verse is, the one that's highlighted, bookmarked, and shared the most was Isaiah 41:10. So in the NIV version of the Bible, it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And it seems like that's the third time in the last 4 years that it ranked the most popular verse in 2020, 2022, and 2023.
Okay. How did theirs read again?
It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."
Okay, so, yeah, but you know, it just, to me, it's just something about the King James Version that I just
prefer.
It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness."
Oh, not my righteous right hand. Well,
but the right hand of my righteousness.
So his righteous, everything about him is righteous.
Right, but he's telling you his righteousness is what's going to reach out.
In 2021, the scripture was Matthew 6:33. And that, I think everybody remembers that. And that's like, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you."
Yeah, and I guess as times become more stressed, there are certain people, they become less materialistic, and they're looking for some type of hope, some type of peace. I was thinking about the people in Ukraine and even in Israel, how, you know, they got up for a normal day, and then next thing you know, they're in the midst of a war. It's right at their doorsteps. And the people of Ukraine, you know, people have been, they were going around just regular life. Next thing you know, they're under an attack, and people, the neighborhoods are getting bombed. And I'm thinking how the Lord has blessed the United States, because to one day you're having breakfast and the next day you're running for your life. Think about the people in Syria. One day you're going to market, the next day you and your family are walking with the only belongings you have are the belongings in your arms and on your back, because your world has been torn apart.
Yeah, I was thinking too, like about September 11th, you know, people, it was a nice day, warm day. People going about work, people going about their daily routine, and then all of a sudden, planes hit the Twin Towers, and then it just changed the whole outlook of the whole day, that whole year of 2001.
Right. You know, how the Lord has blessed, because you just don't know.
You don't. Now, here's an article that somebody sent me, and it was how they started off the new year. Bishop William Murphy Jr., the lead pastor of Dream Center Church in Atlanta, he's facing backlash on social media after a now viral video shows the attendees swag surfing at a New Year's Eve service.
Swag surfing.
Swag surfing.
What is that?
Yes, that's a secular hip-hop song that's popular.
But what is swag surfing?
It's a slang term for that
you started, you sway left and right.
It's like a dance. It's a dance.
You sway left and right. That's how we used to come in and march in the robes when we were singing in the choir. Everybody, or you dip, or you do something. So
I don't know.
Yeah,
but you didn't do it to a hip hop song.
Oh, they were swag surfing to the song itself.
A hip hop.
They are so silly.
Yeah, it's a
hip hop group.
It's a secular hip hop song.
That's stupid. Youngsters.
And I can see them swaying, but not to a hip hop song. Why? What's the purpose?
They started swaying left and right, preparing to ring in the new year with a fun and party-like atmosphere.
Well, that's stupid. But even if they were going to rejoice, I could see them rejoicing. But why to a worldly song? They were in church.
Yes,
that doesn't make any sense to me.
That's the service, you know, where you're in church and you're
instead swag
of praying,
surfing.
Instead of praying in the new year.
Yeah, right. You swag surf.
Yeah, see.
You swag.
Yeah, see, the lyrics is like, man, I got that swag. My hat matches my bag. You know I'm popping tags. Because, man, I got that swag.
He's got a bag?
Yeah, they talk. He's talking. Yeah, so it's about fashion. It's about money.
He's
about
metrosexual. Okay.
Yeah, so that's what they...
What's
that? Yeah, so that's what they were playing, and that's what they were playing
that's
on
stupid.
Their New Year's
they
Eve concert.
Yeah, because that doesn't make any sense. I'm thinking that they were just swaying in the you pray in the new year or you sing it in, but as unto the Lord, you don't sit there and hip hop song and start swaying.
Not when your lyrics say, okay, I pop off in the club with a pocket full of bands.
Pop off in the club. Okay.
So,
the pastor was defending himself and he says, we put our hands around each other and started swag surfing. There was no cursing in our church. There was nothing.
There was no praising
either. That was
desecrated
either. In the house of God.
Well, yes,
he acknowledged that his congregation is full of old and young folks. This is not your grandma's church, I'd say.
Yes, ma'am. I said we could swag.
Yeah, anyway, moving on. Teach his own, I guess. You know, but that's no different than what you see on TV, ringing in the new year with, his name? Who, you know... Dick Clark's.
Why come to church to do it? That's what I'm saying. When is it supposed to be giving God the honor, the glory, and the praise?
They could have been anywhere.
Yeah, they should have been anywhere. They should have been anywhere but inside the church.
Anyway, moving on. This article was sent to me, too, from the Christian Post. And I don't know, remember Kim Davis in Kentucky?
Mm-mm.
She was the woman who was to issue marriage licenses
there.
And she refused to
yes.
issue a marriage license to a gay couple.
Right.
Well, I guess she has to pay $260,000 in attorney fees and other expenses.
I tell them this, wait for it. That's what I'll tell them. Wait for it. You know, checks in the mail.
That's
I would write out a check, whether I had the money in the account or not. And
remember,
send it to
they
them.
Put her in jail for a little bit?
Yeah, they're making her, that's an excessive penalty. They're trying to make an example out of her. And I truly would tell them, wait for it, because I'm not paying it.
So the Supreme Court says that the clients have a constitutional right to marry under the 14th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
But this case really isn't about Davis's religion. The case isn't about our client's right to marry. The case is about a government official that refused to do her job.
Well, then she should have been fired. She shouldn't be forced to pay these people and basically make them rich and impoverish her. No, I wouldn't do it. I'd say, I'm sorry, Judge. It's not going to happen.
Well, anyway, I wanted to touch on this. I know the last couple of weeks we had been talking about why people were leaving church, you know,
they make such an emphasis on people bodily leaving the church, and the most dangerous part is that people are leaving the church and they're sitting right up on the pews. They're sitting on the pew and they've already left in their heart.
So the Bible talks about that there would be a great apostasy during the end times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, King James Version doesn't say great apostasy. It calls it the King James Version says a great falling away.
Mm-hmm.
The NIV and the ESV call it the rebellion. But basically what apostasy, great the falling away is abandoning, you abandon the truth. You abandon the Lord.
Right, and the enemy wants people concentrating on, oh, people aren't going to church. No, what the Lord wants people to see is that people are sitting in church.
They're sitting in church swag surfing.
Right. They're falling away in their heart. And yet
that's
they,
a good point.
Right. And yet you have, the attendance might be, you know, off the charts, you know, packed to the rafters. But their heart is far from the Lord.
Well, anyway, maybe we could talk about this next week, the falling away, because I think you can see it, you can read about it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Or Isaiah 13:6, Obadiah 1:15. But I want to talk about how two things have to happen first. So we'll talk about that next week.
Yes, praise the Lord, and let everything that have breath praise the Lord. This week's verse of the day comes from 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, ain't God all right?
God is all right. Praise the Lord. Last week's food for thought was, who asked the Lord to show them the Father so they could be satisfied? And the answer is Philip. And that answer can be found in John chapter 14, verse 8. And it reads, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? It sounded like the Lord was a little irritated with him.
Yeah, he probably was, because a lot of times people just don't recognize because they're too busy looking.
So this week's food for thought is, where is the fruit of the Spirit? Okay. Hint, the Bible. And that's food for thought.
Like a ring of solid gold, like a father is tested. Like a covenant of old, your love is enduring through the winter rain, beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, and faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and it's why I sing praise. Ever beyond my lips, ever beyond my lips, your praise will ever beyond my lips, ever beyond my lips, your praise will ever beyond my lips, ever beyond my lips, your praise will ever beyond my lips, ever beyond my lips. Father the orphan, your kindness makes us whole. You shoulder our weakness, and strength becomes our own. You're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. You will have your bride, free of all her guilt, and rid of all her shame. And know of your true name, and it's why I sing your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
Praise the Lord, it's chat time.
Praise the Lord, it's chat time. Yes, praise the Lord, it is chat time once again. Now, this week we will continue to discuss current events and scripture.
Praise the Lord. It's time for that phrase of the week Did you ever wonder where that phrase came from? The four winds of heaven. And that means that it comes from all directions, the four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west. And you can find that in Daniel chapter 8 and chapter 11. Chapter 8, verse 8 says, "Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven." Chapter 11, verse 4 says, "And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those." And that's where it came from, the King James Version of the Bible. So I know we were talking about a great falling away from the church in the end of times. And I want to talk about something quickly before we get back into our topic. You know, there was a lot of criticism lately about this really cold weather, Arctic weather that we were having. And it was saying, even there was an article in an opinion by this James Causey in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and it says, "As folks freeze to death in the Midwest, an Ohio pastor is charged for offering shelter." A lot of people here in Milwaukee were saying, why don't some of the churches offer shelter when it's really, really cold? Well, this article says, whose responsibility is it to protect the unhoused when it's freezing outside? The city, the state, the homeless shelter, the church? And then he goes on to say about, you know, the people that died because of the cold weather. And then it goes on to say that there was a pastor by the name of Chris Avell, a pastor of Dad's Place in Bryan, Ohio. He was arraigned in court because he kept his church open 24/7 to provide warmth to the unhoused. And he was charged and had to go to court because Ohio law prohibits residential use in first floor buildings as a business district. And I don't know why people think that would have been a business.
Well, his church might be in a business district.
His church was zoned as a central business.
Right.
The building is restricted from allowing people to eat or sleep on the property.
A lot of churches are zoned business. I mean, even for utility bills and things like that, they're zoned as businesses. They used to be zoned residential in Milwaukee, but Milwaukee changed that from residential to business class, commercial.
So the city did send him a letter and telling him that it was prohibited to do that, but he ignored the letter. And during a New Year's service, here come the police and started giving out tickets. And many of these people have been rejected by their families and cast aside by their community. So if the church isn't willing to lay down its life for them, who will? That's what we're called to do, he said.
Well, I'm thinking that when it's cold, when we're in severe weather conditions, there should be exceptions that could be made. Because to me, I mean, an ordinance shouldn't trump a person's life if the situation really doesn't pose a threat. This seems to me more cosmetic. They don't like the look or the thought of homeless people being housed within the business district, but it's not permanent. It's an emergency situation, which to me they show no compassion, because after they give them the ticket and if they say, well, you have to leave, where are the people going to go? It's not like they provided an alternate place. They're just handing out citations, and that would be one citation that wouldn't get paid.
Mm-hmm. So he was helping at least 100 people, and now he's facing criminal charges. Now, that doesn't sound right, but...
Well, we'll see how it plays out, because you have to use common sense. And it also depends on the area. Just like in Milwaukee, we had some deaths, but it's not because people are sleeping, well, as far as I could tell, I don't know about all the deaths, but for the ones that I've heard of, it's not like people are just sleeping in the streets. You know, it happens that it's not like people don't have families, like this person that died in his car, you know, for being exposed. And that's just sad. That's a shame. And then some people, they don't put on enough clothing, and or the house doesn't really have any heat. So it's like our homeless situation is not so much homeless, it's like people can't meet their utility bill obligations. So I'm thinking that if people had their utilities turned off, there should be some type of ordinance or law that during these type of situations, emergency situations, they have to turn the power back on, but they don't. From what I gather, it was turned off and they didn't turn it back on, but it should be mandatory that they do in order to prevent somebody dying. And it's not like taxpayers aren't absorbing the cost as it is.
Right, but I just thought I'd throw that out there because a lot of people were wondering why didn't churches do that? Well, there's a reason why.
Yeah, I mean, you can't in all circumstances do what some people have done as far as just open up the doors to strangers, because sometimes you don't know who you're letting in.
And I know that in the article it said that maybe school auditoriums could be opened up, you know, and I noticed that North Division was opened up.
Right, but North Division really didn't have anybody coming through because we...
They had a few people.
A few, but we don't have that sort of type of, at least in certain neighborhoods, it's not that type of situation where people don't have any shelter. I think they should do the responsible thing because it all goes back to money. They should turn a person's services on during harsh winter conditions.
All right, moving on. So, you know, the King James Version calls it a falling away.
Mm-hmm.
And other versions of the Bible call it the rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if people right now today would feel like they're in the middle of a rebellion, you know.
Yes, well, they are spiritually.
I mean, they are spiritually, but I don't think that they feel like they are in.
No, because they're deceiving themselves and they're going in their own way. Because the world is already out there. So you can't say, well, people aren't going to church. Well, the world hasn't been going to church. And then if you say, well, there are people who have been to church and now they're not going, that has also been. But the falling away that the Lord is talking about is like you can have a mega church and it could be seating 5,000-6,000 people, but their heart is far from the Lord. Who in the world are they praising? You know, you have a person up there preaching and people dancing in the background and
swag surfing.
Right. It doesn't make any sense. It's like they're not giving God the honor. They're just they're entertaining each other. They're just having service, but not a dedication
to the Lord.
Right. Of faith and
praise.
There's
no anointing, nothing.
No. They're not serving the Lord because their heart has fallen. Their love has waxed cold, the Lord said.
They use the Lord. I ran across an article, I'll talk about it in a minute, but in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul makes it clear that the day of the Lord, a time of worldwide judgment, will not transpire until two things happen, the falling away, or the great apostasy, or great falling away, or this, and the second, the man of lawlessness has to be on the scene, or revealed at least.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the one who's called the son of perdition, or the antichrist, or the man of sin, or whatever it is that you want to call him. And once this person makes himself known, the end times will indeed have come. But, you know, we're getting pretty darn close to that. You know, when you look at the world and what people are doing and how they're feeling about church, about the Lord, about being obedient to the word of God, about, you know, they feel like they don't have to, that they, whatever they're thinking or feeling is
because they deceive themselves.
Good.
Right. They actually want to go in their own way. They're like the people in the book of Jeremiah, and I would encourage people to read that, because that's the same spirit that people have today. They look to the world for approval, for recognition, for validation, and they leave off giving God the glory and the honor and the praise. And they say, pray for me. Or they say, we want to hear what the Lord has to say.
You know what
and
I
when
was...
you And when you tell them what the Lord has to say, they say, the Lord didn't say that.
Oh, or they just gloss over it. It's like they listen, but then in their heart they say something else.
They reject it altogether.
And then, you know, we think of the end times being here soon, but, you know, it was a long time ago. People speculated that the man of sin was going to be like Napoleon or Muhammad.
But they should have known that it was going to be Napoleon like women. And so now this man of sin doesn't have natural affection for women. I'm trying to figure out, how is this person going to pull that over? I think, how would they pull that off? Either it's going to be because of a religious stance, they're going to say their religion, whatever it is, and it's going to give them the leeway to be lascivious, whatever, but he's going to be tied to some type of religion.
They already are.
Or
they don't need a man of sin to be.
Or it's going to be one of those transgender people who basically people, you know that the person is a man, but they're going to, their identity is going to be it, zim, zam, them, wham.
They, he,
thank you, ma'am.
It.
It's going to be something weird, but it's going to be a person that you know has no natural, normal affection
when you read the
opposite sex.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, it says that the man of sin is going to be, will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, and he'll set himself up in God's temple.
Because he actually believes that he is God. See, the Lord said in his heart, he actually feels that he is equal to or superior to God himself. Now, that's a delusional person. That's somebody who'd be a Mussolini, a Stalin, a Hitler, all rolled up in one.
So Paul is saying that that's not going to happen. The man of sin isn't going to come on the scene until there's this falling away. So we're getting very, very close.
Where people are falling away from the word of God.
Because
there's nothing there. What are they going to fight with? What are they comparing the lie with? What truth are they comparing the lie to? None of the truth that God has established. That's why they're going to be deceived. Now, these people are actually going to be thinking they're doing what's right because they reject the truth.
You know, and I just learned something today, that when you read other versions of the Bible, I know we talk about reading the King James Version,
mm-hmm.
Because it is the most accurate. But then, you know, as you get to other versions, I did not know that they leave off certain parts of the scripture.
Or they remove them all together.
So I was listening to someone speak about Romans 8, chapter 1, where it's talking about, what did I say? It was talking about condemnation, that there is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. And
who walk not after the flesh.
But that's where it stops, who are in Christ Jesus. And then they cut off the rest of it in some of the other versions of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say that, it doesn't talk about walking after the flesh or walking after the spirit. It just stops there.
Right.
And it gives you a false truth.
It
gives you the false truth.
It doesn't direct you to how there is no condemnation. And it's telling you there's no condemnation because you walk after the spirit. Therefore, you don't have to be condemned. You don't bear your own iniquity because you have given yourself over to the Lord, who has already borne our sins.
Now, I have read other versions of the Bible, not regularly, But I was curious about some, like the Amplified or the New King James Version. So it never occurred to me that people who translate a Bible into another...
They have to. They have to change the significance. So much of a percentage that they are given that has to be different from the original King James Version. Without that difference, they won't declare it a new Bible.
When you're doing that, you're doing yourself a disservice because you don't know the whole truth.
Right, but they don't care. They have their own, especially that one, I forgot what kind of Bible it's called, but it speaks in Ebonics, you know. And hey, man, I said, what in the world am I looking at? You know, it's like when you change the Word of God and you say, we have a new version of the Bible, you have to eliminate so many passages. That's otherwise, it's just a carbon copy of the original text. And they say, so what has changed? You can't claim it's a new Bible. So they change it. They either reword it or they delete.
So anyway, the man of sin, the Antichrist, isn't going to come on the scene until there's this falling away. And we're very, very, very close to that.
So you have the churches, the pastors, you know, allowing all this abomination the church.
They're allowing, starting with the Pope. Now, I read an article today that says that the Pope was saying, you don't bless the union, same-sex union, but you bless the people. But how can you bless them to continue to live in their sin?
Right, you can't bid them Godspeed. You can't do it.
And then there are other churches who are incorporating same-sex couples in their churches and condoning things.
Right, people talking about being inclusive and being tolerant.
Saying that Jesus never mentioned anything about homosexuality.
I said, yes, he did. I said, because he is the Word. He mentioned it all throughout, and he lets us know that there's a bridegroom and there's a bride. You know, not a non-binary. There is a bridegroom and there is a bride.
So we're close in the sense that there's all this, all these sexual sins, all this transgenderism.
Lust of the flesh and the pride of the eye.
I can't even imagine how much worse it could get.
It can get worse.
I just can.
And it definitely can get worse and more base. And as you know, this one guy, he's trying to convince, I don't know if he's in Congress now, out of Kentucky, I believe. He's trying to legalize, I think it's either pedophilia or incest, one of the two. It's something that's abominable. But they see nothing wrong with it. This one person said when he was dealing with these people who traffic in children, he said it's like selling a car. They don't think of them as being human beings. We're at this stage where people don't look at people as being children of God, as having a soul, as having a conscience. It's like you can do what you want to do.
Well, that's all evident in abortions. Mm-hmm. You know, you just don't consider, or euthanasia, you don't even consider that as a life.
And you don't think in the terms of you have a living God to face. You know, there's some people, they're so miserable. They think that if they could just end their life here, they've been somehow convinced
insurance companies
that life ends here.
Insurance companies won't pay the policy if they find out that there was a suicide. But you have people who are chronically ill or have an illness that'll cause death, and they seek out to someone to kill them.
And usually they get away with it because they're chronically ill. If they were healthy, there'd be an investigation.
Well, they do that
there
now
would be an autopsy. But if you have an illness and you die, and then people say, well, they had a heart condition, they say, okay.
And they want to extend it to, you know, euthanize people with mental illnesses or drug addictions.
And eventually it's going to be
alcoholics. They already do that now.
Right. Eventually people are just going to just do it. It's just like the conscience, what God has set as being sacred, what God has determined as being worthy the world. People with all these antichrist satanic spirits are saying it's not so.
And then they
actually convince the people who are weak-minded. And these people who don't, like in Jeremiah, they don't want to follow the Lord. So they rather believe a lie than believe the truth.
Well, I bring that up because it's you think that, that falling away is out into the future.
No, it's not.
But it's like we're in the middle of it right now.
Right.
I think we're right in the middle of it. In Matthew chapter 24, it talks about at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have false prophets and many people are going to be deceived. Well, we mm-hmm. do that now. Look
right.
at all the preachers and the teachers and the...
Right.
You but know, they're deceived. I'm talking about teachers in school, preachers in churches.
Right. And there was a time when you could go to the church and you would have a refuge. You had somebody who was saying God is real, so that salvation is real. You know, your soul can be saved. You can't. The Lord can change you if you allow him to. The Lord can redeem you if you allow him to. Now you have these same institutions. The preachers are worse off than the people who are coming in seeking for help.
And because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold.
Right.
Well, you already feel it now.
Yes.
You know that as you're getting older, it's not like it was when you were kids.
Right.
There was a lot more love and...
Yes, now you have parents starving and killing their children, children killing their parents over gas money. Things that... You just didn't hear of. Now the Lord said there's going to be mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, father against son,
and you can
son
read that
against
in
their father.
Matthew, in Matthew chapter 24. And all of these are characteristics of the great falling away or the rebellion. As
right, because if you don't have love, you have hatred.
Or the apostasy. All these are characteristics. Now when you look around, you can stand and then just look all around yourself and you can see it and feel it and hear
right,
it.
Right.
Hear it on the news, hear it.
Because if you don't accept grace, you are under sin.
So just so you know, I believe, are in the middle of
mm-hmm.
the apostasy,
and it doesn't
the great falling away.
Right, and it doesn't take long.
And I won't be able to get to my other articles because I took up all this time talking about this. But I wanted everybody to know that it's right now. It's
right,
here.
Right.
So
that man of sin is on the scene.
He hasn't been revealed yet.
But it's not long.
So that concludes our program for today.
Yes. Praise the Lord and let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Now this week's verse of the day comes from Leviticus 10:10. And that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. Now, ain't God all right?
God
is all right.
Praise the Lord. Last week's food for thought was, where is the fruit of the Spirit? Where can you find it? And the answer is, in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And the answer can be found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. And it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. This week's food for thought is, why did the Lord make the world? Did you ever wonder, why did the Lord make the world? Hint, the Bible. And that's food for thought.